Hello and welcome to the Geek Interview Podcast. I'm Jeremy Pappas, alongside, as always, a man absolutely sick and tired of waiting for greatness. It's Russell Jones. Russell.
Greatness, it has arrived.
Has it?
Well, maybe. We're still not exactly sure yet. I think, honestly, at this point, greatness is, you know, a little more intangible than we thought it would be.
Greatness has checked in on Facebook, but we don't know if they've done, like, a pre-check-in, or if they've checked in, they're not actually going to go there.
Exactly.
One of those sorts of things.
Yeah. The jury on greatness has still not rendered its decision yet. We're not really relying on the court of public opinion on this one. We have to wait for, you know, the minds, you know.
Of the people. Of course, we're talking about the recently released PS4. It's a little weird doing a podcast on a Monday night, but over the weekend, Russell had to jaunt up to Arkansas to a family function, was gone, had some other stuff going on too, so we figured we would hold off. It also allowed Russell to play a little bit more on his wonderful PS4, which he purchased. So
I have to say this, it actually was the first time I got the chance to play the PS4 because I went to the midnight launch Thursday. Uh-huh. If you look at how my schedule was set, you know those people that'll clear time, they'll take a day off work, or they'll plan mm-hmm. to call in sick, you know, to prepare and play as much as they can? I had the exact opposite of that schedule because I went to the midnight release Thursday. And then 6 a.m. the next morning, I got up and went to a career day at a high school that I had agreed to do kind of last minute because they really needed someone. It was for a friend of mine. And then I was at work all day. I got home. I had a few hours, and I ran into a bit of a problem because there was a really, really horrible tinny sound to the quality of the sound coming out of the PlayStation 4.
After you updated, right?
After I updated.
I've seen before.
Right. I did everything I could to try to prepare because, as expected, PSN, the whole network, went down as everyone tried to log on Thursday night. But I was smart, and I had downloaded the 1.5 update, put it on a USB drive, stuck that sucker in right away, installed the whole thing beautifully. It was fine. It was great. It was perfect. Turned it on when I got home from work Friday, ass tired, because I only had 5 hours of sleep. Tinny sound. Crappy sound. I didn't know what the heck was going on. So I tried reformatting the thing twice after swapping out some HDMI cables and doing a couple of other things. And it just kept – I spent 2 hours waiting for the thing to reformat. And not only did it not remove the system update, but it also didn't fix a tinny sound. And I was just stunned. I thought, crap, I'm going to have to take this thing. I can't believe this is already happening to me. Because I was thinking about all the other, you know, problems that people were saying they were having online about this. But I hadn't heard anything about tinny sound. And then Macy said, what if we turn the TV off and turn it back on? And that fixed it. And I wanted to put my head through a freaking wall. Because apparently, it does this. It's the HDMI cable. I don't know why. But our TV, you have to turn the device on and then turn the TV on.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you turn the TV on and then the device on, it does not like that.
You have an issue with the port that your HDMI cable plugs into.
Yeah.
That is most likely the issue. Or it's the fact that you do have an older TV.
Yes, it is.
It's flat screen HD, but it's still relatively old TVs considering.
About 8 years or so.
So, yeah, it's pretty old. But it works now. Which is good.
Oh, yeah. It works fine. I got to play a lot of Assassin's Creed 4 on Sunday because I didn't get any time to play with it Friday night because I had to get up and fly out at 6 a.m. the next day. So I got 5 more hours of sleep. And then Sunday, I got back in. I finally got to play Assassin's Creed 4, downloaded Resogun and Contrast. I played a lot of Resogun. I haven't played Contrast yet. And I downloaded DC Universe Online, which I have a lot of time in on PC.
Mm-hmm.
But my PC account doesn't transfer over.
Well,
so I have I have an entirely new setup. Like, if you had a PS3 account for DC Universe Online, it transfers over.
Right.
Because it's tied to your PSN ID. But, yeah, I've actually got in, spent a lot of time doing it. I'm working on reviews right now for Contrast and Resogun. At the same time, I'm trying to finish up my review for XCOM Enemy Within, so there's a lot of stuff going on.
Right, so let's talk about the midnight release.
Yes.
Give me sort of the overall rundown of the old midnight release where you were. I'm assuming this was a GameStop?
It was GameStop on College, a little, you know, kind of strip mall-y GameStop right next to a Hobby Lobby. Uh-huh. And it's a decent place. I'd say it's the place that most of the LSU peeps tend to go to. Because uh-huh. It's the closest one to campus. And they had some pretty big midnight releases before. I've seen the line stretch down to the Hobby Lobby, and that's, you know, that's a lot of people. And this time, it was not as big. You probably had about 80 people or so there. And the way that GameStop does their midnight releases now, especially for these, you go in earlier in the day, and you finalize your purchase, you make your payments, you do all that, and they give you your receipt, and it has your number on it. And that's kind of pre-signing up for your spot in line.
Right.
And then they take you by number instead of having people line up and jockey for position.
Right, which is a good idea. It can cause issues if you don't. People can fight, and it's much better to just give out the old ticket, let you wait, give you your machine, call it good.
Exactly. I know some people who, you know, raced down as soon as they started doing the sales.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one of the guys I work with was number 5 in line. So he immediately, you know, like, right off the bat, went inside, got his PS4, went out.
Mm-hmm.
And then barely 10 minutes later, I did the same thing, and I was number 55.
Mm-hmm.
So they pushed it through quick. They knew what they were doing. And, you know, it was fine. It was decent. It was just, you know, people lined up, they got their thing, they left. It was that simple.
Yeah.
It was not, you know... And that's the thing. After cruising around, I mean, there was a report today of someone who got shot over a PS4 sale that they were trying to buy from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Typical thing, you know, you show up and you're expecting the guy to pay you. Instead, he shows up with a gun, you get shot, you know, and stuff happens.
Typical. But, happened to me like 3 times last week.
Right. So the thing is, there was, especially the last gen when the Xbox 360 and the PS3 came out, people were going insane.
Mm.
I mean, not even just the customers, like the retailers were losing their minds. They didn't know what the hell to do. There were some places, I think one place had everyone line up on the opposite side of the parking lot and then race to be the first in line. And like the first person in line that won the race was going to get a free PS3 or something like that,
mm-hmm.
which was stupid.
Right.
Because not only did, you know, people fight in the race, you know, trying to knock other people down to get there, one guy slammed face first into a pole on their parking lot and broke like half his teeth and most of his face.
Yeah, well, you know, you talk about the PS3 launch, the Xbox 360 launch. That was a long time ago. And
it was like 7 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. And since that time, we've had what most pretty well known now, the rise of Black Friday, where, and I think it's what, like Black Tuesday before? I think that's where we're at now.
We're basically for some, like for online.
Black Friday starts right now.
Yeah.
There are people lining up right now. Which I don't even want to get into bitching about Black Friday because it's the customer's fault, not the retailer's fault. But it's. You know, they've gotten a lot better at dealing with these shopping events. I mean, you look at everything that's been released, even since the 360, when they do these big midnight releases, which is a relatively recent phenomenon. Now, you know, you learn how to do things correctly. And I'd also like to note that this is the first real plugged in console release we've ever had. I mean, sure, 360, that was 8 years ago, but it didn't have the same sort of, you know, it didn't have the same sort of community then. It's really gotten bigger, it's gotten beefier, people spend months and months and months and months and months talking about it, and it kind of defeats the necessity of having a big launch. I mean, you talk about it all the way up until the beginning. You know exactly what's coming out. You know exactly what you're going to get. And you get it and you go home. You know, you do all of that launch day stuff in the 3 months before the thing comes out, you know? It's that sort of deal. I mean, and especially when it comes to something like a console, because you have a console, you have console hardware, it's hard to get really jazzed about hardware. It's not hard to get jazzed about a game, but it's hard to get jazzed about hardware. So, you know, I think it all sort of makes, sense. I think that bygone day, I don't think we'll see that again for console releases until something really new comes out. Now it's just sort of expected.
I would agree with that, especially there's burnout is much more common now. Mm-hmm. As far as information overload is going, you get saturated.
Right.
And the real hype about this has been happening so many months ago. People have made their decisions. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was surprised that there were like 10, 20 people who'd showed up at midnight expecting to be able to walk inside and buy a PlayStation 4.
Right.
Well, I mean, they had handful. They had some for sale. But all those people waited until the pre-orders were done, and then they got to go in and buy whatever was left.
Right.
So it was, you know, kind of a risky proposition. Yeah. But these things have at least stayed to the point where, you know you're going to have a ton of pre-orders, and you gear towards the pre-orders. It's such a pre-order culture now that was just kind of beginning at the beginning of the last console cycle. Now it's really just ingrained. We know what we're doing.
You know, and you're sort of expected to be plugged in, especially with the whole console wars. I mean, South Park just did this on Wednesday, and we'll get part two of what we're assuming is three parts of this whole console wars thing. I mean, once you've gotten to a point where South Park is parodying you,
yeah,
it's well known enough that, you know, it's sort of become the thing. And, you know, it's interesting that it almost becomes sort of a pre-order only deal. I mean, I know some people that showed up and didn't pre-order, but at this point, you pre-order. It's just what you do. You know, things sort of change. So, I don't know if that's a bad thing or not, but you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah.
As far as what you've played, you've played Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Pirating Sexy Pirate Simulator 2013,
which I'm hearing is pretty good.
I was describing this to some people we were having dinner with the other night, and the thing with Assassin's Creed, the whole series, is that people are kind of tired of it. Like, even people who enjoyed Assassin's Creed are kind of tired of it right now.
Right.
And Ubisoft has tried to make some changes so that they don't just completely burn people out entirely.
Right, right.
The good news is that Desmond Miles, who was like the main, you know, modern day character, he's gone. He's done. Spoiler alert, if you haven't played the end of Assassin's Creed 3.
That's been out long enough. Play the fucking game.
He dead. So Abstergo, who is the company run by the Templars, you know, in modern-day corporate world, have apparently claimed his DNA somehow. They've gotten a hold of his remains, and they are mining his genetic memories for all of his assassin secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing it by creating a video game company named Abstergo Entertainment. So the person in Assassin's Creed 4 who is actually, like, in the Animus, quote-unquote, playing the game the way that, you know, the whole meta thing that you're actually representing the person who's in this whatever, is a video game tester for Abstergo Entertainment who is testing their latest release, which is going to be, you know, Edward Kenway the Pirate.
Right, right.
So there's a whole kind of meta element. The good news is all that stuff, if you're Assassin's Creed, you know, burnout, you're thinking, oh, God, I hate the whole – anytime you're out of the Animus, good news – it's not there. It practically is non-existent. I've played through hours of the game so far and have not had to step out of the Animus for any reason. You can leave the Animus to do certain things, and I'm not saying that they won't tell you at some point, oh, you need to log off for a little while to take care of this bullshit thing that just showed up in,
hey,
in
do
your
this thing.
Exactly. Apparently, the modern-day stuff involves you going around Abstergo offices and, like, hacking into other people's email and finding little notes that have been left behind on QR codes you can tag with the tablet they gave you, which is – it's really just a side thing for the people who really want that. But if you don't want it, good news. So far, it seems like you can just avoid it because there's a ton of stuff to do in Assassin's Creed, the actual pirate game.
Right.
You get your ship, the Jackdaw, after about an hour and a half or so into the game, and the world just opens up. You have the entire Caribbean that has been recreated, and you can seamlessly travel around it. Get to an island, you step back from the wheel, you jump off the ship and swim to the island, all without a loading screen, without a transition of any kind. You're on the island, you're running around, you're looking for treasure, you're hunting down animals and killing them for their pelts, which you can use to make armor upgrades, mm-hmm. or entire outfits made out of cat skins. I air assassinated an ocelot, and I did not feel bad about it.
Exactly. You fox-eared asshole! Because, you know...
Baboo! Yeah. He remembers me! Yes.
Death.
They make really horrible pets. I was not tempted to take it on board the Jackdaw and try to keep it. No way was that thing pissing all over everything. But, you know, that's the thing. You could jump back onto the boat, get behind the wheel, and suddenly you're roaming around looking for ships to blow up. All the naval combat from Assassin's Creed 3 is here, which people really enjoyed. It's just, it's everywhere. Uh-huh. I compared it to take the Assassin's Creed 3 naval combat and stick it in The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, where you're in the boat and you're roaming around the seas and you're directing the air and the wind to send you different places, and you can find all these hidden secrets in throughout these islands and out the world. And it's a really, really massive experience. That's what Assassin's Creed 4 is at its very best. There are times when, you know, you wind up repeating some of the same stuff you did in previous games, running through town. There's a few immersion moments where it's like, hey, here are assassin contracts that you can take, despite the fact you know absolutely nothing about the Assassin's Order, and in fact, they were trying to kill you 5 minutes ago. So it's kind of
funny to watch a game franchise realize that the bullshit story they've tried to create around their games is bullshit.
Yeah.
And we should really just try to drop it for just what the game is. It's funny that what it sounds like to me is, I've played a couple of Assassin's Creed games, and it's always felt sort of the same. It seems to me like they have created a cool game, but there's no story around it that anyone gives a shit about.
Yeah.
So it's almost sad that, not really sad, but it's kind of funny that they're just like, you know, getting rid of it. Like, meh. You know that whole story thing? Meh, never mind. Let's just go be Assassin's Creed-y. But really, how much longer can you go with just the same game in different, you know, areas of the world and different times?
And the thing is, at some point in the modern side stuff, you run across an email that has been leaked for quite a while now. And the email has a list of places that the company is targeting for research into future games, you know, quote unquote. And the thing is that people are asking whether or not these are actually going to be future games that Ubisoft is going to make Assassin's Creed in. And they include some kind of off the wall places, like, you know, the American West, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the American West will be one.
They mentioned the Summer of Love.
Yeah, kind of hippie vibe. Get into the Charlie Manson stuff.
It'd be really interesting if they did something like Son of Samish.
Yeah, Son of Sam. You know, the thing about Assassin's Creed is that they've just beat it into the ground.
Yeah.
Produced way too many games, way too fast, you know.
And the thing is, the speed is only going to increase because they've said, we're going to make a new Assassin's Creed. Their goal is to make a new Assassin's Creed every year.
And, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. The thing is, I think we already know what next year's game is, mm-hmm. and I'm actually excited about it. It's an HD remake of Assassin's Creed Liberation, which was the Vita title,
right.
I think I've got her confused with the Dragon Age character, and I do not want to get this wrong.
Hang on. Aveline.
Yep. It is Aveline, yeah. I think Aveline de Grand Prix. Aveline is going to be the main character. It's basically the remake of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a complete remake. They're going to HD it up, It's going to be on PS3, mm-hmm. Xbox 360, and PC. And they're going to take the people's complaints that they had and critics' complaints that they had about the Vita title, about mm-hmm. problems with some of the quests, and about these things weren't here and there, and they're going to fix those problems for the remake.
Take a look at it. Take a look at it like this. Assassin's Creed was launched the very end of 2007, so we're talking 2008. Here are all of the games that have been put out. Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed 2, Creed Brotherhood, Revelations 3, Black Flag, then other games. Altair's Chronicles, Bloodlines 2 Discovery, Project Legacy, Lost Legacy, Recollection, Multiplayer Rearmed, 3 Liberation, Utopia, and Pirates.
Yeah. That's
which a lot is of an stuff. Upcoming Pirates is an upcoming mobile game.
Yeah.
The game has only been around for, what, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 5 years. Years the game has been around.
And they've already done three main...
I mean, you just can't do that. You just can't do that. People will get oversaturated with your game.
And the other part is that it's fragmented all mm-hmm. over the place. I mean, I got into Assassin's Creed 3... And even though I played Assassin's Creed 2 and thought, okay, we've ended Assassin's Creed 2, I kind of know what's going on, I knew there was stuff I was missing, and it was obvious that there was stuff I was missing.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when doing that is okay. Like with Marvel, you know, with Marvel Avengers, when you got into that, they didn't really take a lot of time to explain, oh, we've had these other movies, and we've had these other things that are going on, and these little things you need to know.
Because they made the movies.
That's
what the movies were for.
But it works there because it's a clear progression.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the Iron Man movies, 1, 2, 3. Here is the Captain America movie. Here is the S.H.I.E.L.D. movie, the Thor movie. Now here's Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
With Assassin's Creed, things really just splintered all over the place because you had Assassin's Creed, you had Assassin's Creed 2, you had Assassin's Creed 3, and then you had all these other little side projects at the same time that were more tangentially related as opposed to being something that fed directly into the system. And they were all different systems and they were all different, you know, things at the center of them. Like I think Brotherhood was the one that was entirely all about multiplayer and having all these different assassins that worked with Ezio, and it was just all over the place. It was not that unity of purpose and storytelling did not exist or did not seem to exist. There wasn't enough of the common thread tying it together except for the main character, the assassin. And frankly,
he's kind of
it wasn't enough,
and he's kind of done now. I mean, as you're pirating it up. You're not really an assassin. I mean, you're still the same guy, but not really the same guy because that guy's dead.
Yeah, you're still the person, the person behind the Animus,
uh-huh.
and that's never going to change because it's the mechanism that they've set up to be meta. About, oh, this makes sense that you're playing a game because, you know, you're this guy strapped to this machine who's reliving this whatever, you know. So,
which I bet they kind of regret doing now.
Eh,
it would almost be better if they would have just done some sort of a, hey, let's look at all these assassin things kind of thing instead of, because, I mean, they're shying away from it. People clearly hate it. You know.
I wouldn't say that they hate that part of it, though. They really didn't care for Desmond. The problem was any time that you got out of the Animus,
mm-hmm.
it sucked. It was not fun.
Well, that's,
it was not interesting.
That's all of that stuff.
Exactly.
What I'm saying is it may be something along the lines of, you can say, hey, had we not done this whole thing, and we had just made it more like a straight thing, this is, you're going to play the formation of an assassin's guild from the very beginning in the Renaissance or in wherever and see how it continues on. Even if they would have taken sort of the same concept and said, well, okay, let's do it's, you're a family line from this period down to this period. And each person is related to the persons in the past and you interact with other characters. Had they done that, there would have been no need to do the Animus blah, 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 which people sort of hate, which is sort of understandable. I mean, who wants to buy a game and then play what's not the game? You don't buy Assassin's Creed to run around and plug into and hack computers, you know? You buy it to fucking assassinate people and have a good time with the assassinations.
Yeah. And frankly, I'm getting a lot of that. I'm really getting a lot of that. And the pirate stuff is just, it's truly excellent. Mm. It's really, really good. The PS4, because it's been on PS3 for a bit and Xbox, the PS4 version is, I mean, it looks good. It runs really, really well. Mm. I've not run into any issues, you know, with looking at it and going, you know, this really does kind of look like it was made with previous gen in mind. And the only other real, you know, next gen-y thing, you know, that the PlayStation 4 has that little touchscreen in the center of it, right?
Right.
Which you look at and a lot of us, we're looking at going, I really don't know what they could use that for or how it's supposed to work. It's just a little surface. I thought at one point that it would actually light up and show you stuff, and it doesn't. It's just a little tactile surface, and the whole surface itself is one big button. So you can push it, and a lot of people trying to push like the option or the share button accidentally wind up pushing that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also, you know, drag and touch across it, and it's really responsive. When you're playing Assassin's Creed 4, you can push that center button, the touch screen, and it opens the map, which took me forever to figure out. But when you have the map open, you can scroll around the map using the touch screen. And it works exactly like you think it would, including mm-hmm. pinching in and out to zoom in and out of the map. And the first time that I opened the map and kind of, you know, moved around and looked where I was, and then I pinched to zoom out, that map was huge. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, crap, how big is this game? So that was a really fun moment, and it made me – I like using the touchpad to just screw around with the map and pop in and move around and set mm-hmm. waypoints and find stuff, and that was good. And it kind of is, I think, the right way to use it, that it's mm-hmm. a little side thing like that.
So Assassin's Creed aside, you had a few little issues with the PS4 that must have come down to your TV.
Yeah, I think it's mainly just the TV.
So you're digging it. Is it something that you're enjoying so far? Have you not really had enough time with it?
Yeah, my initial thoughts on it are positive. It looks really good. It looks really good, especially on like Resogun, the mm-hmm. The Twitch shooter, the shoot 'em up game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bullet hell game. It's really fun, and it looks good, and it moves really well. Graphics are very intense. It's very impressive. We just don't have enough, you know, games that require enough horsepower yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of tempted to go out and grab Need for Speed Rivals at some point just to see how it looks. Because I'm not a sports guy at all. I'm typically not a driver guy at all. But I played Need for Speed Most Wanted, and that was actually a decent experience for a review.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of jonesing for something that's a little more next-gen-y as far as, you know, the way it's designed and built mm-hmm. from the ground up. And I think that Need for Speed might actually need some more of that console horsepower. But Assassin's Creed
you ready? It might need more speed. No.
I was resisting for so long.
No one's clapping.
No.
I feel there
no,
should
No, they
be,
are not.
I feel there should be clapping. I'm the first person to make that joke ever, just me.
But you know, Infamous Second Son is going to be out early next year, I want to say. Destiny is out next year, The Division, all these big titles. That's what I'm really looking forward to. I'm also going to get some time in on DC Universe Online, and I'm encouraging as many people as I can sign up to, you know, that have PS4s to also jump in, and maybe we can mm-hmm. make a little group, and I can actually get some stuff done that I haven't really been able to do on PC.
That'd be fun. Well, we are actually going to go ahead and call the podcast there, a little shorter than normal, mainly so I can get it edited tonight and posted. We will be back next weekend with more PS4. We're also going to spend a little bit of time talking about tomorrow, which is Tuesday, or today, if you're listening to this today, which is Tuesday, is the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Thor Dark World crossover episode. We'll definitely be talking about that. Maybe some more PS4, depending on what happens between now and then. But you don't really expect anything to happen. It's just going to kind of sit there, and then the X-Bone's going to come out, and people are going to buy the X-Bone, and then you are all going to sit here until after Christmas and when games start coming out. So it's kind of in a funny, really alive, yet still kind of dead period. But, you know, and we'll also maybe touch on Christmas movies. Christmas movie season is something that we both love quite a bit. So yes, so that will be next week. But for now, as always, our music is Op Prop featuring Esset. Check them out on uhort.no. You can always check us out on Twitter. We are at GIR Podcast. You can also shoot us an email to GIRpodcast@gmail.com. For Russell, this is Jeremy. Thanks for listening.
Greatness awaits! Maybe a bit longer for you, but definitely less longer for some.